Baptist Church in Amory, Mississippi. I hope I pronounced all that right.
Think you know how to say something till you get there. This past June, our ministry had its national conference in Massachusetts. Can you imagine me in Massachusetts? We stayed in Vermont and went through New Hampshire to get to where the conference was in Massachusetts, all within just 25 minutes. And so just to keep folks from being shocked, I got to where when I went into place, I just say, "Greetings from Georgia." Well, I come to find out, not far from where we was at, on up the way a little bit, we were staying in Vermont, there's a town called Georgia, Vermont. So some of them was looking at me funny when I said, "Greetings from Georgia." So, but we're glad to be in Amory. Is that right? Amory, Mississippi. We're so glad to be here today. We love your pastor and his family and thank the Lord for their friendship. And I appreciate y'all letting him be away once in a while. It gives us another chance to get to come by here. And I know we don't ever need an excuse or a reason to come by here. And we're always welcomed and loved and always fed, more ways than one. Amen. But we're so glad to be here today. And we want to try to be a blessing and help to you and give you something from the Word of God. It'll be a help to you along life's way. And read something sometime over the last few days. I read something that said less than 10% of sermons preached in supposedly Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches ever mention salvation and heaven and hell and sin. And God help us to remember that the people are lost and they're on the way to hell, but they don't have to go there. And thank God that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and God's made a way for us to miss hell and gain heaven. And last month, I don't know, was over at Brother Brock's Bible Conference, and I picked up a little book from an old preacher man. He had written down some of the outlines he had used over the last 25 years, and that book's probably 50 years old. Matter of fact, he was born in very, very early 1900s. But I was looking through it and saw a lot of interesting things. I wasn't looking for something to preach. I was just looking for something to inspire my soul and help me. Back in the back, he had a bunch of different poems and sayings and things like that, and illustrations. And I come across an interesting one concerning alcohol. It was anonymously written, but he had written a little poem about a bar, a saloon. And he said, "Whoever named it well. It's a bar to heaven and a door to hell." Talking about alcohol and all that. But that's all I remember so far. I wrote the rest of it down, but I don't have it before me. I can't even remember now why I mentioned that, but we're so grateful to be here today. And I'm Ricky Burnett, and this is my wife, Renee. Stand up and turn around and wave at them, Renee. Amen. Thank you. A lot of folks never see her face. So I want to read from Colossians chapter number 3 this morning, Colossians chapter number 3. And you pray for us today. We'll try to be sensitive to the Lord, give you something from His Word that'll help you along life's way. But I'm so thankful to be a child of God this morning. I enjoyed that choir song, and it went right along with a Sunday school lesson, didn't it? Amen. The love of God was demonstrated on the cross at Calvary. Colossians chapter number 3. And I want to read the first two verses. Now, I'm not going to make y'all stand if y'all usually don't, but if y'all usually do, then that's fine. I'm not going to make you do it. Y'all usually do it. So, y'all need to stand. If you need to stand, stand. If you don't need to stand, just remain seated if you want to. All right. I'm not going to fuss either way for or against it. But the Bible said in Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Lord, add your blessings to the reading of your word today. Speak to me, speak through me. Help us from your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now I want to use these two verses this morning and use them as a background for a message from the Word of God and try to be an encouragement to you along life's way. And listen to these two verses again and think about what is the writer trying to tell us, what's he challenging us to do. If ye then be risen with Christ. Do I understand that? Is that another way of saying you children of God? You that have been saved? You that have been risen with Christ, if you then be risen with Christ. So what he's writing to save people, and he's telling them, if you've been saved, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Up there? Well, that's what above is. It means up. Above means up. Well, all I see is the ceiling. No, he's talking about something more than that. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Higher than the ceiling, higher than the roof, and higher than the clouds. He said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you're saved, then you ought to be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And he went on to emphasize, not only should you seek those things which are above, but you ought to set your affection on things above. You ought to exercise your heart and make it meditate on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In other words, very simply put, the man is writing to us and just trying to get us to think about heaven a little bit more. He's wanting us to think about where Christ is, and he's wanting us to set our heart on heaven. And someone said, well, if we do that too much, if we think too much about heaven, we won't be of any earthly use. That's not what I see in the Scriptures, and I've heard that quoted before, that if you get too heavenly minded, you'll be of no earthly use. Well, my friends, can I tell you, this Scripture has challenged me over the last months, and I've been trying to think more about heaven and less about earth. I've been trying to exercise my mind and my heart on the things of God and the things which are above and the things that where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. To do that, I have to get in His Word more. I have to talk to Him a little bit more, amen? And thinking about things above and setting my heart and setting my mind, setting my thoughts there. It's causing me to want to serve Him with more fervor here on earth. If I'm trying to get my mind off the things down here and get them on what's up there, I start thinking about people that's not on their way up there. I start thinking about people that's on their way to hell. It makes me want to try to win someone else. It makes me want to look for another opportunity to witness to somebody, to tell them they don't have to be on the way to hell. They can have a life worth living and be on the way to heaven. Amen. When you're heavenly minded, it seems to me, if you're heavenly minded like he says here, then you'll be doing what you ought to be doing. You'll be challenged. And I've been reading and studying and trying to listen to some different things about heaven. I just want to know more about it. And I'm not as up in years as some of you are, but more than likely over half my life's gone now. And I don't want to wait till I am fixing to step over the threshold to get to know something about the land where I'm going to spend eternity. If I was going on a trip to a foreign country like Massachusetts, and I'm just kidding, no offense, nobody. I enjoyed them, they enjoyed me. But if I was going on a trip to a foreign country, well, I never had been to Massachusetts before, so I wanted to see what was there, and is there something I need to see while I'm there, and is there some place I need to go? Matter of fact, how am I going to get from here to there? And there was five or six different routes to take, And so we mapped it all out and decided the route we wanted to take. In other words, I studied so I could learn something about how to get to where I was going and what I was going to find when I got there. And so I wasn't so badly culture shocked, amen. But anyway, I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to be there a lot longer than I've been here on this earth. And I want to learn something, and thank God the Lord shows us how to get there. He shows us how to get there, and He also shows us some things that's going to be there when we do get there, amen. But I'm just preaching to you about thinking about heaven. Thinking about heaven. And I've been resurrected with Christ. I've been saved. Therefore, I'm challenged to seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm to exercise my heart, my mind, my thoughts toward heaven. I'm not to set my affection on things on the earth. He goes on to tell us why we're not supposed to do that. He said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. He goes on to expound on these thoughts. Now, I want to look at these two verses and think about heaven for just a minute here. These verses and a testimony of a man that I read who wrote a book about heaven. He got put in a sick bed. He's wrote a number of other books in his life, and he's with the Lord now. He's in that heavenly home. But he said, when I was 83, I was kind of stuck where I couldn't get out and go nowhere. And he said, I got to looking back on my life, and I got to thinking, boy, I'm so much closer to my eternal home. And I've got this life on earth is mostly behind me. And he said at 83 years of age, he said, I got to thinking about where I'm going to spend eternity, and I realized I know very little about the country to which I am heading. So he was challenged to do his own study, and he wrote a book called Heaven, My Father's Country. And I haven't got to read that book yet, but I did read that introduction in it. So Ivor Powell's his name. He was the preacher from Wales. If you want to look that up sometime and find you a good book on heaven, that a man that's dedicated his life to God and studying the Word of God can probably teach us a thing or two about that place, amen. But I've been doing my own study on heaven and been trying to set my affection on that place up there. And here's something you probably don't even care about. I'm going to give it to you anyway, though. You may or may not know this, and you may or may not care, but the word heaven is found in the Bible 583 times. 583 times. 327 in the Old Testament, 256 in the New Testament. I find these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2. I find the Bible said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. He said this, such an one caught up to the third heaven. All right, to have a third heaven, then you got to have a second and a first. Correct? Can't have a third without having a second, and can't have a second without having a first. And so there's at least three heavens told to us in the Bible. This man said he knew a man called up to the third heaven. I don't know who said this, but it helped me a lot, and I'm just passing along to you. And someone said this concerning the third heaven, the three heavens. We see the first heaven by day. We see the second heaven by night. We see the third heaven by faith. We see the first heaven by day, the second heaven by night, and the third heaven by faith. And as I began to try to think about heaven a little bit more, and I looked at these 583 times as in the Bible, and I found out that not all 583 of them are talking about the third heaven. Some of them's talking about the first heaven, and some's talking about the second heaven. Some are talking about the third heaven, though. That's the one where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's the one to which we are going to live for all eternity one of these days. And I began to think about these things and began to think about different people in the Bible. And I found that all down through the ages of time, God's people, there's been some every once in a while that God had them to record some thoughts that they had while they were thinking about heaven. Now, we sing a lot about heaven. And every Baptist church I've been in, they sing a lot about heaven or how to die. For instance, we sang about the cross and Calvary this morning. We sang about being glad that we're saved. I mean, why are we so happy and glad about that? Why do we take time to testify? And why do we sing about that? Well, we're not going to hell, amen. And we're glad we've been saved from sin. We're glad we get to go to heaven. I mean, we think about it a lot more maybe than we realize we do, but we sing about heaven a lot. Many of our songs, and I looked in the back of your songbook under the topical index, y'all got a whole bunch of songs about heaven in your songbook there, and there's some listed there, but anyway, that's beside the point. But what about, and let me say this, I'm not going to try to preach from all 583 times. I'm not even going to read y'all 583 verses, and you're glad I'm not. Say amen right there. That's right. But I want to think about heaven a little bit this morning and give you some thoughts that I've had as I begin to think about heaven, and as I begin to think about heaven and try to set my mind and my affection and my thoughts there, as I tried to shut this earth out and just don't think about it and think about that place. And I thought about many people. I thought about the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21, who said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain," he said. Did you know the average Baptist could not say that? The average Baptist would say, "Well, to die would be the worst thing that could happen to me, would it?" No, that ain't. If you got a scriptural mindset, to die is going to be gain. If I wasn't a child of God, I wouldn't be able to say that. But only God's children can say that. To die is gain. He went on to say in verse 23, he said, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." What did he want to depart from so bad? What did he have such a desire to depart? This life, this earth, this world. He said, "I wish I was dead. I'd be better off." He said, I wish I was done with this life and this world. He said, "I wish I was up there with Christ. I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ. And I ain't figured this out yet. I'm still chewing on this." He didn't just say that would be better, but he added an adjective in there, or an adverb. He said it would be far better to be with Christ than to be here. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The Apostle John gave us the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, and the book of the Revelation. One John, God used him to give us five books. In those five books, he used the word or the phrase eternal life 15 times. He used the word everlasting life 8 times. And you that have heard my pastor that's gone to be with the Lord now, if you ever heard him preach, you know what everlasting life and eternal life is. I've never heard it put more concisely. I've never heard it put more clear and plain. What is eternal life? What is everlasting life? It means you're going to live as long as God lives. I don't know of any way better to describe it and define it there. That's what eternal life and everlasting life is. This same John, the last thing he ever said while he was on this earth, Jesus said for the third time in the last chapter, he which testifieth these things saith, "Surely I come quickly." Somebody said amen. I don't know if it was John or Jesus. Some Bibles have it in red letters and some have it in black letters. One of them, maybe both of them, said amen. But Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." Somebody said amen. Then John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." John had a longing in his heart to go to that eternal home and get that everlasting life in his possession. We have it. We have it. It's just not to here right now, amen. It's within us, amen. But thank God one of these days our faith is going to become sight. One of these days Jesus is going to come. This earth will be gone, amen. We'll be in our eternal home. I thought about the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 10. The Bible talked about Abraham said, "For he looks for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I didn't see that in y'all's songbook. You might have it in your choir book over there, but I know y'all know this song. It's one of those, the copyright's gone on it, or it's anonymously written or something like that. But I hate to try to sing it to you, especially not having the words up here, but I like that old song, Looking for a City. Amen. Y'all know that one. A lot of different singers have sang it and recorded along the way, and it's got some good meaning in the verses of it. And since I don't have it before me, I won't try to give it to you here this morning, but I'm with Abraham. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior. You probably never heard it like that before, I'm sure. I know I'm not singing it right, amen. It's hard to say. And our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Hebrews 11:14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And matter of fact, let me go back and get verse 13. Hebrews 11:13. He's talked about by faith Noah, by faith Abel, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Joseph, by faith all the way down through Hebrews 11. He comes down to verse 13 and he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Peter used that same phrase in his epistles. I don't know of a better phrase to describe the people of God. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what strangers and pilgrims are, don't you? And a stranger is a person who has no home. He's in a foreign place. A pilgrim is someone who is on a journey on his way home. That's us, friend. We are strangers in this world. We really don't belong here. We're here, but not for long. We're here temporarily. One songwriter said, my real home is up there on high. Makes me think of another, and wrote and said, this is an address change notification. I'm moving to a much better place. Amen. I'm glad my real home's up there on high, though. I'm a stranger here. I live here in the United States of America, but it's not my real home. It's not my permanent home. It's only temporary. I'm a stranger here, and I'm a pilgrim. I really don't have a home here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. As somebody got on to me one time, I remember I preached about Jesus coming again. And I filled in for another pastor, and he came back and listened to the service and said, Brother Ricky, is that all you can do is quote song lyrics? I said, well, I can't help it. I said, I didn't have all that in my notes. I said, I got up there and got to preaching. All these songs started coming, and the songwriter expressed it much better than I could, so I just used the words they already wrote. Amen. What did you find there, my brother? You got an old church hymnal there, don't you? I could have told you that was on 18. I didn't know you had a church hymnal over there. Amen. Well, amen. And we didn't have much special singing this morning, did we? Listen to these words. Not the way I sang them. Here among the shadows, living in a lonely land with strangers, we're a band of pilgrims on the move. And this is going to be hard to sing, but through dangers, burdened down with sorrows, and we're shunned on every hand, but we're looking for a city built above. Is this not true? Here in disappointment, often we so sadly roam, and earthly friends no longer speak one word of love. But truly we have found contentment. Jesus promised us a home. So we are looking for a city built above. In this land of dangers, we are going here and there. We're simply trusting in the blessed Savior's love and mercy, though we may be strangers living in this world of care. We're always looking for a city built above. Amen. I think the songwriter expressed it quite well right there. Looking for a city. That's what it said Abraham was doing. A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. And then he emphasizes that is and heavenly. They desire, talking about the people of God that died in faith, they desire a heavenly country. And you know, everything that really means anything to us as God's children, everything that's really important, it's not on earth, it's up there. I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I can't quote them, but I'm thinking of them, I'm seeing them in my Bible, I can tell you in my mind where they're at in my Bible. They're over on the left side of the page at the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And Renee will have it in just a minute here, and I'll just read it to you, amen. And if I can just borrow that, right down to the last two verses. Listen to these verses here, the last two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says these words, and I'm in the wrong one. Find me 2 Corinthians, maybe it's 2 Corinthians 4. And so, first mistake I made in the last 10 minutes, I guess. Amen. It's 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. So everything that is eternal is not on earth, it's up there in heaven, friend. Let me give you some clarification about that from the Word of God. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus said, "Pray after this manner, pray ye therefore, our Father which art in heaven." In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 24, the Bible said, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." In Hebrews 12:23, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven," he said. In Luke 10:20, what Luke 10:20 says ought to give hope to all of our hearts. He said, "Rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What's that to get excited about? I mean, what does that mean if our name's written in heaven? That means that somewhere up there, there's a piece of property that belongs to you. Your name is written in heaven on your piece of property that God has, He's reserved it, Peter said, for you. Peter went on to talk about that, how that we have a living hope. He said in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Our eternal inheritance is not on this earth, it's in heaven, amen. Our Father's there, our Savior's there, our brothers and sisters in Christ are there, all the other saints of God. You remember He wrote in one place, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I remember reading in another place where during Christ's burial, He went down into the heart of the earth, and the Bible said He led captivity captive there, amen. What do you say? What does all that mean? Well, I believe it might mean He cleaned out that place in Luke 16 called Abraham's bosom or paradise. And He took those Old Testament saints up there to join Him and the New Testament saints. And now to be absent from the body is not to go to Abraham's bosom, but it's to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our brothers and sisters are there. Our Father's there. Our Savior's there. Our eternal inheritance is there. Our names are there. Philippians 3:20 said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, He means by that, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. I got an address here on this earth, but once again, I just go back to what I said. This is only temporary. This world is not my home. My real home is up there on high. My citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of that place. We belong there. Matthew 5:12, Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward." Not on earth. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He's telling us the only treasure you'll possess forever is not on this earth, but it's in heaven. Amen. And so to sum it all up, the songwriter said, I call it home. Heaven is our home. I heard an interesting message back in about 1990. I remember it. It stuck with me. Man preached on heaven in a revival service. He used John 14, where Jesus said, "In my Father's house, in my Father's house." Amen. He showed, Jesus was saying, in other words, my Father's house, that's my home. I mean, my home used to be in my Father's house, and it ain't no more. My Father's gone to be with the Lord. Now, my daddy's gone to be with the Lord. Now, the house in which he lived and where I was raised is still there. That used to be my Father's house. And even after I moved out, I still had a key to that house. And whether daddy was home or not, it didn't mean a thing. I could still go there and act like it's my home. I could help myself to what's in the cupboard and the refrigerator. I could sleep on the floor, sleep in any of the beds. I mean, I could make myself at home as if it were mine because it belonged to my daddy. This man related heaven. Jesus said, "It's my Father's house." And he showed how that heaven and home, how that one of them is a good picture of the other. And I'm not going to try to do that. I'll just leave you to think about that. But I never forgot about that. Heaven is my Father's house, and it is my home. I am a citizen there. I belong there. And do you ever feel like you are treated as a foreigner or as a stranger? Do you ever feel like you are treated as an alien being? Do you ever feel like people talk to you or look at you or think about you like you are from another planet? Like you are not of this world? God bless your heart. If they think about you like that as God's child, they're exactly right. When you shake hands with one of God's children, you're not just shaking hands. I tell you, you're shaking hands with an alien, a stranger, one from another world. Amen. He's here today, but he's not here forever, though, and he's not here for long, but he's going to be at home forever. Amen. I'm talking about thinking about heaven, thinking about our eternal home. Amen. And so everything we love is there, and everything we cherish, everything valuable, everything eternal. And it's all not on this earth. These are just temporal things, the things that we can see. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, in light of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if we're not supposed to be setting our affection on the earth, and we're supposed to be setting it on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, why have we got it all messed up? Why are we making ourselves so at home in this world? Why are we pouring our hearts and our affections into this world? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, he said. May the Lord help us to remember that this world is not our home. And I know the morning is getting by, and believe it or not, it's already 12:46 where I came from, so it's past lunchtime. So I'm going to wind it down here, I think. I say that. Those are a few introductory thoughts to try to get you thinking about heaven. Can I just give you, I won't even tell you how many. Let me give you some reasons why I want to go to heaven. They're all laid out in the Bible, very simple, very plain. But let me show you why I want to go to heaven. This is not all the reasons why I want to go there, just some of the reasons. But the Bible tells me that heaven's a place of rest. I want to go to heaven because it's associated with rest. Revelation 14:13, he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Hebrews 4:9 said, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." Are you wore out, Brother Ricky? Well, not right now, but sometimes I get wore. Well, what do you need rest from? Well, I'm glad we're going to have rest. I'm glad we're going to have rest from the fight that we're always in. One of these days, the battle's going to be over, amen. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne and reign and rule as King of kings and Lord of lords in eternal bliss and happiness and joy that I can't describe. Amen. One of these days it's going to happen. We're going to have rest from the fight that we're in all the time. Christian life's a fight. It's a battle. It's shown to us. We're to be good soldiers. We're to endure hardness. We're to put on the whole armor of God. And we're to stand and keep standing. And oh, it's not easy all the time living for God. One of these days we'll have rest from the fight. And then because of that fight, it does wear you out spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and every other way you can think of. I'm glad we'll have rest from the fatigue that we sometimes experience. But more than anything, I'm glad we're going to have rest from the foe. That's the cause of all this. I mean, when we get to heaven, the devil's going to be in the lake of fire being tormented forever. The Bible said in Revelation 20:10, we'll have rest from the foe. Heaven's a place of rest. I want to go to heaven because heaven's a place of rejoicing. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. And I'm glad I've got the Word of God now, and I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God, and I'm glad for the men of God and the house of God and the people of God. These all played a part in bringing me to a knowledge of salvation. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm not ashamed to say I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I rejoice about it. I testify about it. I sing about it. I preach about it. I rejoice in the fact that I'm saved. But wait till I get to heaven, though. If you think I rejoice now, wait till I get to heaven. And I know a lot of things are going to take place, and I ain't saying this is going to be the first thing I'm going to do, but boy, when we get to heaven as God's children, we will rejoice about our salvation. We'll rejoice because we're not in hell. We're here. We're in heaven. We're in that place that God promised He was going to take us to one day. Heaven's a place of rejoicing. We'll rejoice about our salvation. And I believe there'll be a time we'll look around. You have to put a lot of scriptures together, but I believe we'll rejoice about those that we've helped to bring there. Now, we can't save anybody. The Lord does the saving, but He uses His people. You know, I'm saved today, and I'm going to be in heaven because somebody witnessed to me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody wept for me. Somebody fasted for me. Somebody preached to me. I'm where I'm at today in God's kingdom. I'm not as far along as some of you, not as far along as I ought to be, but I'm where I'm at today because of God's people taking God's Word and by God's Spirit teaching me the things of the Christian life. But I'm going to heaven because somebody took the time to point me to Jesus. Somebody showed Him to me. I saw Him in their lives. And I believe we'll rejoice. And I hadn't won thousands of people to the Lord, but every once in a while along the way, God's let me win one or two. And so, amen. It wasn't long ago. No, we could talk about so many things. It wasn't long ago, maybe 2 years ago, and I got a message sent through a lady who goes to one of our supporting churches, and she said, "Brother Ricky, Miss Pickett said to tell you hello." She goes to church with me now and said she just said to thank you for not ever giving up on her. Said she was a practicing witch and headed further into that life. And said she sings in the choir beside me now. And said she told me to tell you it's 'cause you never gave up on her. I never thought about that in my life. And that's one. There hadn't been a whole lot, but every once in a while, and me and that lady worked in the same plant on third shift together, and what'd you do? Well, I didn't go preach to her every night or anything like that. I just tried to live a consistent Christian life and just let the joy of the Lord flow through me, and just hopefully I had enough of it flowing through me that it made somebody curious. Now, I know folks got curious. Some folks came by and said, "Don't you know we're on third shift? Didn't you go to church all day today?" Yes, I went to Sunday school this morning and then went to Sunday morning service and then went to Sunday afternoon radio broadcast. We used to go down there and do it live. Went back to church Sunday night and now here I am at work. Have you had a nap? No. Well, how are you going to make it through the night? I don't know. I'm going to pray the Lord will help me, and He always did. By the way, how come you're so happy? You hadn't slept and rested all day, and now you got to work all night. It'd be a miracle if any of us makes it through. How come you're so happy? What are you on? I've had them ask me that. What are you on? I said, when break time comes, according to how much time you want me to spend with you, I'll give you the short version or the long version. I can tell you the short version right now. It's Jesus Christ. He lives in me. He changed my life. And, you know, some of them was gone right there and then. I pulled that little Bible out of my pocket that I always carried with me. And I said, "It was Jesus Christ. Would you like to know more about Him?" And you get that Bible out, and buddy, some of them just gone. But every once in a while, one would stick around and say, "I wish I had what you have. I want to know more about what it is that keeps you going, that makes you tick, that keeps you so happy all the time." I remember that place I used to work, and neither here nor there, but used to wear long sleeve shirts all the time. And I had folks to come by and say, "Roll up your sleeve. I want to see the marks on your body where you've been taking whatever it is you're taking." And I would roll up my sleeves, and there would be no marks there. And they would say, "Well, I don't understand. I mean, what are you on?" Well, let me tell you about what I'm on. I'm telling you, got to win one or two to God along the way. Thank the Lord. I believe we'll rejoice about those we've helped to win. One song, "Keep on the Firing Line," says how we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. "Keep on the Firing Line." That says, "When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad." Keep on the firing line. I got my verses all mixed up there, but amen. Let's see here. "When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin." Y'all know that one? I'm not going to make you sing it. "With a shout of welcome, we'll all march in." Keep on the firing line. I want to go to heaven because it's a place of rejoicing. Also, it's a place associated with a reunion. I don't have to talk about this. Every one of us got loved ones over there. Have you thought lately about your loved ones that's gone on before you? What are they doing right now? What are they doing today? What did they do yesterday? And what are they going to be doing tomorrow? Well, the Bible gives us quite a clear picture of that. John saw into the future, and he saw all the redeemed of all the ages around the throne of God. And they was just adoring and praising and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the one sitting upon the throne. Heaven's going to have a reunion associated with it. And all those that left a mark on our life, many people left a mark on my life I never met, but through their recordings and through their books and through their influence, they helped to mold me into the Christian I am. I get to meet them. You know, I never have met any of the folk in the Bible yet, but I'm going to, though. I'm going to meet Abraham. And I'm going to meet, and on and on and on it goes. And you know, some of them, I'm going to meet that one. I'm going to get to meet the saints of God. And some we've known and some we haven't known, but we'll have eternity to get to know them. Amen. And heaven's associated with a reunion. Heaven also is associated with the resurrection. I'm not going to preach on this just going to minute. I want to go to heaven because the resurrection associated with it. And the bottom line, there's an entire chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 on it, but I believe in the bodily resurrection of the believer because of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, "Well, what if this and what if that? What if somebody, what if one of God's children had an accident and they were shredding trees and they got hung in the shredder and it shredded them all to pieces? I mean, how's God going to deal with that?" Oh, don't you worry about that. God knows where every little piece is. And He ain't going to need that old earthly, fleshly body anyway. Amen. their soul and spirit is with the Lord, and God's going to give them a new body to go along with that one day. There's going to be a resurrection. You say, how is our body now different than how our resurrection body will be? 1 Corinthians 15 covered that. He said, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but he said, you take a little seed and you put it in the ground. And when it comes forth, it don't look anything like the seed that you put in there. But yet it has continuity and association. It came from that seed. Let's just say you plant a sunflower seed in the ground there. And what comes forth is a sunflower. And you take that sunflower seed and you take that sunflower, and they don't look anything alike, do they? But this came from that, though. That's what the resurrection body is going to be like in comparison to these bodies that we have now. Covered that in 1 Corinthians 15. He just gave us an illustration that we might could grasp, and it's probably going to be greater than could be put into words, but thank the Lord He gave us somewhat of an illustration to cause us to think about it. I want to go to heaven because it's associated with the resurrection, but I want to go to heaven because that's where the Redeemer's at. That's where the Redeemer's at, amen. I'm closing with this right here, Lord willing, and we might come back tonight and pick up on this a little bit more, but in Job 19:23, Job said these words. Can I say them to you like Job wrote them? Maybe I should move my microphone down. I'm telling you, there's some punctuations in Job 19:23-24. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. What are you yelling for, Rick? Well, there's exclamation points there. Three of them in those three short statements. Three exclamation points. Job said, I know something, and I'm so excited about it. I wish it could be written down and be preserved. And not only do I wish it could be written in a book for generations to come, but I wish a sculptor could take an iron pen and carve it in a lead rock so that when all the paper and books are gone, the message would still be here. What was he so excited about? He said, here's what I wish could be written in a book and carved in a stone. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Our faith is going to become sight. We're going to get to see that place that He went to prepare for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about getting there. I want other people to go there. Amen. Set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And maybe tonight, I don't know what will happen tonight. We'll pray and seek the Lord. And the Bible tells us many other things that are there in heaven. It also tells us about some things that are not in heaven. And in thinking about that, someone came along and wrote a song talking about some of the things that won't be in heaven. And some of you seen it on our Facebook page, but I'm going to give it to you this morning for those of you that hadn't seen it. This song talks about things that won't be there. The Bible tells about things that won't be in the book of Revelation. Got all those no mores, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. All the former things are passed away. And though this song might be a little bit humorous, there's some reality to it. And between these scriptures that challenge me to think more about heaven, set my affection on things above, and through the things I see that's not there and the things I see that will be there, I've still got a lot to learn. I haven't even comprehended all 583 times that I find that word heaven in the Bible. I haven't ciphered myself how many of those exactly are speaking about that third heaven. But I'm a child of God because of Jesus and what He did. I'm not going to hell. I am going to heaven. And I'm glad when I get to heaven, there's some things that's not going to be there. And this song talks about some of those. And I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. And I'm closing with this, all right? Let me say this. If you're not saved today, you can be. The Lord loves you more than I can describe or explain. He wants to save you and He will save you if you'll come to Him. You don't have to go to hell and you don't have to live a miserable life between now and the time you leave this world. You can be saved today and have a life worth living if you'll give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some things that's not going to be in heaven. One of the most unusual songs I've ever came across. Well, there's so many reasons that I want to go to heaven. And Jesus, He's number one. I've read about the street of gold and all the songs yet to be sung. I know everything's going to be so perfect that's waiting in that land so far. But sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. There won't be any headaches or backaches or stomach aches in that land. No connecting the dots with the age spots on my hand. I won't need reading glasses to see, and no arthritis on my knee. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. You'll never see me up there shoveling snow. There'll be no poison ivy or grass up there to mow. No mosquitoes, ticks, or fleas, and no red ants gnawing on me. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. At supper time, the phone will never ring with telemarketers selling me everything. My front door will never be locked, and no junk mail in my mailbox. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. There's no calories or fat grams or carb counting on that shore. And you won't need to fight no diets anymore. No treadmill walking for me with these bunions on my feet. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. There'll be no time in heaven through all eternity. So I will never know when April 15th will be. So when I'm living beyond the stars, I won't need to call H&R, cause the IRS won't ever hear from me. There won't be any headaches or backaches or stomach aches in that land. No connecting the dots with the age spots on my hand. I won't need reading glasses to see. No one will have to eat gluten-free. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. Well, there's no kudzu on those hills, and you'll never hear the sound of a dentist drill. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there, and I won't need to use Head and Shoulders for my hair. And none of us will have to give these viruses another care. Sometimes I like to think about everything that won't be there. Thank you for the precious Word of God. Dear Lord, thank you for so many people that testified of the desire to go be in their heavenly home, to be in their eternal home. And I pray that you'd help me and maybe someone else today that's one of your children. Lord, I pray you'd help us to quit focusing and thinking like we're going to be on this earth forever. We're not, Lord. Your Word tells us these are temporal things. And Lord, you told us not to set our thoughts, minds, and affections on this earth, but to set them on things above. Help me to learn more about that land where we're going to live for all eternity. And I pray today if one's here not saved, speak to their heart, draw them to yourself, save them by your grace. Help them to get their name written in heaven so they can understand why we carry on as your children like we do. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be a living witness to your grace and love and mercy. I pray you'd help us to live a life that would cause others to wonder about what it is that we have. And Lord, help us to be aware of opportunities to tell others what you have done for us and what you can do for them. Thank you for the promise, the hope of eternal life. The Bible said that God has given us the hope of eternal life, God that cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the hope of heaven today. And thank you for the information that you've given us in your Word about it. Help us to understand some more of these 583 times that you mentioned it in your Word. Lord, help us to grasp it that we might love you more and serve you better in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, Brother